Isn't this what our minds do? Huh? Isn't it interesting? And let's not make it bad. Let's not think, oh, how dreadful I am. What we're trying to do is really understand the territory. Because we've come to this retreat, and I'm quite sure you've all come to the retreat wanting to be more compassionate, haven't you? It's actually quite a significant feature of our lives. We want to be more compassionate. When we think about it, you know, it's a nice idea, isn't it? It's a nice idea. The world would be a better place. We can say lots of excellent things like that. But when it really comes down to it, we start exposing these deeper energies that have got a total agenda of their own. And if we don't expose and take account of them, they will trip us up at every single turn.
Just this existing of the idea of making the world a better place, and then everybody attributing it to you. Like, you make the world this better place.
Yes. So you become the hero who gets applauded.
Yes.
Saint. He made the world a better place.
Sometimes I think it's easier to be compassionate to someone you don't know than someone you do.
Yes. Especially if they're far away.
Children, you think you want to be a compassionate parent, and yet...
but sometimes I think compassion can also be negative.
Like what?
Like when you try to protect somebody because you feel compassionate for them, but it's actually not the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And I think... So would this be what they call idiot compassion?
I don't know, maybe, but like especially with a family member, I think often with family members you tend to you would protect them, say in a situation where you know it's not good for them, but you have to be compassionate.
Yeah.
So in that situation,
yeah.
Sometimes I think compassion. The other thing I want to think is that I think you know, when you say, I mean, it, in a professional space, it requires patience often with people,
yeah.
Especially when they're non-delivery, or you know, you have to feel a sense of compassion.
Yeah.
So I think also maybe it can be very negative.
What can be very negative?
Having to that constant sort of compassion of other people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
The issue of boundaries and honesty.
One of the things we look at towards the end of our compassion training is the way we then need to establish a balance of compassion and wisdom. Because, as I think you're rightly indicating, compassion without wisdom actually doesn't get you there. Because it can turn into what they call idiot compassion. Yeah.
So, Rob, you would say that wisdom is an aspect of compassion?
Well, it's generally treated as the balance, as though there are two hands.
Uh-huh.
You know, in Hinduism, they have a thing. They talk about the Hamsa bird, the bird that has two wings, like most birds. One wing is compassion, the other is wisdom.
Because mm-hmm. Yeah. In that situation with family, my sense is that the compassionate thing to do would not necessarily be to collude in kind of harmful behaviour, but to set a boundary.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Mm.
And sometimes kick them out as well.
Sometimes.
Isn't that what mothers don't like doing?
Yeah.
Tough love, yes.
Mm.
Do you think that you were talking more about pity than compassion?
Mm. Yeah, I think we need to distinguish those, don't you?
Mm.
Distinguish between pity and compassion.
Or honesty. You know, I mean, sometimes you have to protect somebody.
Yeah.
You feel like if you're honest, they won't cope.
Oh, right.
You won't manage it. Yeah. So you rather protect them out of compassion.
Yeah, then you're patronizing. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's complicated, isn't it?
We can make it hugely complicated. We're good at that.
Mm.
Yes? We're very good at that.
But, you know, I get some relief when you remind us me, or because I've heard you say this many times, but it just doesn't keep me constantly minding. It gives me relief when you say the mind automatically, instinctively does that.
Yes.
There's this aspect of me that I don't have, you know, that I'm not orchestrating. It's orchestrating me.
Good point. Yeah. Yeah, so as in so many of our other investigations, what we see is that when we start inquiring into the way our minds work, we encounter a huge amount of involuntary activity. Nice psychological term, that, isn't it? Do you know what involuntary activity means? Or shall I expound? Say more about it. Yeah? Involuntary means it happens whether you want it to or not. It happens whether you intended it to or not. So, it's in the category of a reflex. And you all know, when you go to the doctor and they think you've got something funny, they do the knee jerk test, yes? You all had that. Well, they hit the knee at that particular place and it jumps. There is no point at which you intend to make your leg jump. That is an involuntary reflex triggered by the doctor chopping you. Yes? So you all know what it means, involuntary reflex. Now, our minds are full of them to a greater degree than we would normally imagine. And all these things I've been talking about are involuntary reflexes. The mind automatically does them. It automatically goes there. It automatically clicks into selfish mode, me first mode, me more important mode, you wait mode, you come second, third, fourth or fifth mode. Automatically does that. And it does it at a level that we very often don't see. We often don't realize we've done it. This is what's so interesting. And in a way could be very disturbing. And this is often why people have great difficulty changing. Because they think things through. They form intentions. But they disregard this area of involuntary activity. And make no mistake, it is much stronger than the thinking, intellectual, rational, logical, analytical process. It is much stronger.